Hello and welcome to 3BZine Podcast, the official podcast of 3BZine.com. My name is Cody, and with me as usual is the co-host, Dustin.
Yo, what up? Dustin here.
And today we have a very special guest sitting in with us. It's Chris Richards. He works with Six Palms Entertainment Music Placement Services. Brewmaster. He does it all.
Yeah, he's a man of many trades.
Yeah, so round of applause for Chris Richards being here today. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. All right.
It's great to be here.
Absolutely. It's a thrill having you on. You know, you're involved with a lot of things in San Diego. One of the things that actually made me want you to come on to the show is, you know, I'm involved with a few bands in town, and I've got the whole, you know, local music thing going. So one of the big things that you do is music placement in for Showtime, right? Is it Showtime in particular, or is it pretty much anything?
Well, it was Weeds for Lionsgate.
For Lionsgate, okay.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
Lionsgate Television. Yeah.
So that's how you got involved with everything in general, like you just
music
kinda...
placement. Yeah, it well, was a.
First, we should talk about what exactly maybe the music placement means.
What
does it mean to be a music placement specialist? Like, how do you get into that? And then, what exactly does it mean for music and for shows and, you know, the whole nine, I guess.
Yeah, well, what I do, I am closer to the definition of song plugger, which is basically I go to a producer, present songs which I think might have potential for a show. In this case, it was Weeds, and ongoing with Orange is the New Black.
That's the new show that you're currently working on, yeah.
And music placement specialists would probably follow or fall closer to music supervision, which I don't do. In fact, when I present songs, I have no idea what's going to stick.
So the music supervisor for, like Weeds, for example, was someone completely different. And basically what you would do is you would approach them and say, hey, I've got these songs or these records or this music in general that I think might fit on the show.
Correct.
And then they basically go through them and they're like, okay, this would work in this scene, this one will work in that one, kind of thing.
Exactly.
So you've got to get like the green light from the music directors for the individual shows.
Right. And that's post-production music supervisor producers.
So do you work with other people? Is there other people in your kind of involved with your company?
That's why I'm closer to the definition of song plugger.
Plugger.
Quote.
You're plugging songs.
Yeah, it's a very literal job title.
Yes, right.
Well, song plugger, yeah, that's what I do, yeah.
Right.
So I know that you've had, really the entire reason that I heard of you before I even met you was because you got a number of San Diego bands placed on Weeds. I know that for sure. Were there other shows that you got placed as well, or is it just mainly these two shows that you work on,
or it's that you did work on? Really an exclusive relationship because of song placement and product placement, and it's evolved from ideas that just came to fruition for the most part. The songs, I hadn't seen Weeds until three episodes in.
Oh, really?
And then I saw my good friend Mark Burley's name in the credits as a line supervisor, line producer.
Okay.
And was driving back from Vegas and just got on the phone to him, got a hold of him, and he took my call. I was grateful and just suggested perhaps I could send him some songs, and also that Stone Brewing was a great company if he was interested in product placement.
Oh, okay. So so you do a little bit of that as well, or is it mainly music?
I did, mainly on a cooperative basis.
Okay.
With Stone, specifically.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. How exactly did that work? What does it mean to be like on a cooperative basis necessarily with Stone?
In trade for products.
Oh, got it. Okay.
A keg here for for a house concert or even just a case to have around the house.
Yeah.
You know, case of beer. That's,
and that would be to somehow have their product placed within the show Weeds?
And it
I saw it on what was that movie? This is 40. One of the guys was wearing a Stone bicycle jersey.
Yep.
Like every scene that there was biking going on, it was a Stone bike jersey.
They're all for it.
Yeah.
And they're not for overt advertising.
They're not really big on their philosophy.
Like Coca-Cola or something where like
turn
the label
Stone
outwards towards the camera be like, hey, I love Coca-Cola.
It's a little bit more subtle, I think, the way that Stone likes to do it, I would assume.
Whereas a lot of people on Weeds, I should say on the show Weeds, really.
There's a big difference. A lot of people on Weeds and the show Weeds.
Right.
Really enjoyed Stone Brewing even before I had pitched the idea of product placement.
And so they were totally on board, I mean, I would imagine there would be a lot of interest, I think, from parties involved with, actually making the shows and stuff like that. Like, if they like a product, that product's company reaches out to them or somebody involved with their company, they're going to jump all over it.
Didn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
That's probably the dank character of their beers, probably. Which I think is an actual BJCP term now under beer judging.
Dank IPA, really?
Yeah. Well, dankness when it comes to beer.
Just dank as a descriptor.
Well,
just like the that Stone Enjoy By. It's like even says on the bottle, it's like dankness.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a thing now. It's like dank is now a thing.
Dank. That beer was dank, yo.
And it's not like it's not as bad or it doesn't have like that stigma as it may have once had.
That,
it's actually a lot more legal.
I only knew that through weed.
It's a little bit more of a...
That is fucking dank
and
weed
the,
right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's like a lot more of a legal statement nowadays.
Yeah.
The kingdom, phylum, species of plants. You know, it's they're close cousins, cannabis and hops.
Yeah. I like
flowering
that.
Plants.
Humulus lupulus.
Well, so that kind of leads in conveniently to, you're a brewmaster.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Cody's the beer guy out of us, and I'm certainly growing to appreciate the finer points of craft beer and everything involved with it from being on the show, really. And knowing Cody, and I know that he was pretty stoked that, not only are you involved with, kind of getting local music out on a really very broad scale, like a huge scale, you've also got you got like ties galore to the
beer industry
as well.
Professional commercial brewing experience.
Beer is great for common ground, really is.
It brings everyone together.
I think we've noticed that by doing this podcast. It's like no matter who we have in here, we can bond over a beer, and we've talked about that with just like meeting friends or hanging out with friends and meeting new people, sharing experiences with people, right? It's a good good way to, introduce things to people and have fun together, I guess. I don't know.
I agree.
It's very much like a kind of a bonding kind of agent, if you will.
San Diego is such a social town. I think that's one of the many reasons beer is such a big deal in this town. It's such a social town that it's accepted because it brings so many people together.
Yeah.
And there's so many places that have good beer. You can just hang out and good music too. I mean, you mix the good beer with the good music and you have a great time. I mean, speaking of Stone, I know, like Low Volts does a lot of music for their commercial, their online videos.
That was a deal that we did over lunch with,
So you
Stone's
set that
marketing
up?
Guru, Chris Cochran.
Okay, so you were behind
that.
Yeah,
Yeah, nice. That's right.
Okay,
see,
then. See, there you
things
go.
That, things happening behind the scenes we don't even know about with Chris.
There you go. See, that's what we need to dive into even deeper. We're barely scratching the surface about what we could talk about. And you're trying to already segue into beer talk, but I think there's still some
more. Yeah, we're done with the music placement stuff. That was easy.
I think there's still so much more music.
And then he just dropped a bomb on us right there. Oh, yeah, I just kind of organized that entire deal. That's cool.
I'm bringing it up like it's cool, and he's like, I did it.
Right, let me tell you something you don't know, Chris. Deal with low volts and stone.
Were you aware of this?
Get the fuck out of town, dude.
Yeah, right. Well, before we segue into the beer talk, you had questions, music. I have a few.
Well,
I do
want to get really into the music placement stuff because, I mean, that's something that I'm just so interested in, obviously, because of my background with local music and whatnot. But I was just kind of
want to get the beer stuff out of the way.
I thought it was a good segue, and I also thought that I wanted to kind of introduce that part of him as well to whoever's listening right now.
Well, do you want to start off talking about what we're drinking for the episode, then we can move
absolutely.
Into this a little
I think
bit?
That's a great.
What
do we got? We got the Coronado Brewing Company,
Orange Avenue Wit.
Yes.
Which is a wheat beer brewed with honey and spices.
That's right. It is a wit from Coronado Brewing Company. It's boiling hot outside, so I felt like this was a really good choice for this specific day. And seeing as how our special guest here works on Orange is the New Black, I thought, why not have an orange
Bam!
Beer?
Brilliant. The correlation is indubitably awesome.
clocks in at about 5.2% ABV. Let's see what else we got here. We're talking two-row, wheat, cara malts. What do you guys think about it? How do you feel about it? Interested?
I think it's fantastic. I loved it. Like the first sip is light. It's got a certain zest to it, probably from all the citrus.
It's brewed with orange zest, orange blossom honey, coriander. It's named Orange Avenue based off of the main drag out in Coronado where their brew house is located, their main brew house. They now have a new one over on this side of the Coronado Bay Bridge tasting room. But it's named after the original spot out on Coronado Island, which is where they originated, obviously, from the name. And I think it's a great summertime beer. I mean, it's so hot out right now.
Oh, yeah. It's brutal.
And this is a perfect beer to just cool off and, you know, take it easy. What do you think, Chris?
I think great. Orange blossom comes to mind. Citrusy, earthy beer. Mm-hmm. It's reminds me of going out to the orange grove at home. Very nice. Good choice for
I'm enjoying it for sure. I'm almost done with mine.
Yeah, I'm
actually a
fan. Chris might be ready for a round two also, actually. We're getting there.
I mean,
it's
light, so it's, you know, like those are the kind of beers that I really enjoy because, you know, I like a heavy beer every once in a while. Like I love like Stone Smoke Porter and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I really enjoy really kind of, you know, a beer with a little levity to it, you know, and it's perfect, like you said, for the hot weather. And
it's like I'm a fan of the spiced honey in this. Wheat beers aren't normally my jam. Like, it's not what I normally would go for, given the choice. But I think this is a perfect spot to be today for this beer.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
If I was going to go for a wheat beer, Coronado's Orange Avenue would be one of my first choices, personally. I love Coronado Brewing Company. I think they're great. I love
what else. What else have they got going on? That
they do all kinds of stuff, man. They do. You probably would be a fan of the Blue Bridge Coffee Stout. I bet you'd be a fan of that.
Actually, me and Elena had that not too long, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
She's a big fan of the dark, of kind of a heavier, you know, beer and
right.
And she loves like the smoke porter from Stone as well, and you know, she just likes up stuff. So I was at the store, and I think I was at a Vine and Vine on Adams, and they had a bottle, and I was like, that sounds fantastic. Or it might have been Bottle Craft, actually. It might have been the North Park Bottle Craft. It was fantastic. I loved it.
I think they have an India Street location too, or am I thinking?
Oh, do they?
They also do. They have their Crown series of beers. They do their core series. They've got Idiot IPA, Strong IPA. The Islander IPA is really good. Their Frog's Breath IPA is an IPA brewed with spices. That's a personal favorite of mine as well. Mm. I just had their 17th anniversary recently, which is a humdinger of an IPA, which is real good. Get that while you can, because I don't know how long it'll be around. I'm sure they brewed enough for, you know, months.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff. And they do the Mermaid's Red. They have like a gold of some sort. I don't really get into that one too often, but yeah, they have a pretty wide range.
Been around for a while then. You said
17, 17 years. Stone's been around for 17 years also. Yeah.
So they popped up at the same time then. Eh?
Just about, yeah. They just don't have the recognition, I guess, that Stone has gathered over the past 17 years. You know what I mean? Stone is a much, you know, larger
global
thing. It's, yeah, it's a much bigger thing, I think, than Coronado. But that's not to say that Coronado isn't doing fantastic things, because I think that they're great.
Obviously, if they suck, they wouldn't be around anymore, basically.
No, I love Coronado. I've always loved Coronado. I think they're great.
Yeah.
I've never had something I wasn't a fan of.
Well, let's crack open another one.
All right.
We'll take a break with this. We can keep going, actually. I mean,
sure.
I got some questions for Chris.
Yeah. Well, you had the music questions, so we can jump straight into the beer questions too, though. Let me ask one, and while you're answering, I'll start grabbing and we'll start popping bottles.
Sure. Actually, I'll grab them.
No, it's okay. I'm close. Well, one of the things I found out about you is that you were brewing in Las Vegas for a while. Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
How exactly did you come across brewing in Las Vegas? And also, I was curious what you see as like the huge differences, or even some of the main differences, between the brewing in Las Vegas compared to the brewing in San Diego. How did you tell us how you ended up there? And then I also am curious of the differences that you see between the two beer stylings and also the beer scene, the community.
Yeah, generally everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but we'd like to know, how did you end up in Vegas, and how did that whole thing happen? Yeah.
I sort of had my eye on Vegas from the beginning when I started my studies with American Brewers Guild, which at that time was a distance learning program. I believe now it's all on site with Steve Parks, who's their proprietor, owner. They're in Salisbury, Vermont.
Oh, really?
And I had gone through months and months of study in beer science.
And this was a few years ago, is that right?
Yes, we're talking about 10 years ago now.
Okay.
Yeah. And we came to the point where it was graduation time, and Steve had said, congratulations, everybody, but I'm a bit hurt that no one wants to come brew with me for their apprenticeship. And I was the first to raise my hand.
Nice.
And it was great, and I would love to go back to Vermont at the earliest possible moment, because I had a great time out there. It was Otter Creek Brewing, which still exists.
Okay.
/ Wolliver's Organic Ales. Morgan Wolliver ran the whole operation. Steve was the brewmaster. And I was given 5 weeks to brew and take it all the way from the mash to filtering and bottling.
Wow, so the whole process then, yeah.
And Steve runs an incredible program. Based on that, so we kegged off a beer, which is a German alt beer, through Otter Creek Brewing in Middlebury, Vermont, which is called Copper Ale. And that was sent off to the Great American Beer Festival,
which is out in Colorado, right?
Yes, yes. A few months later, 3 months later, I showed up at the beer festival. I was still looking for a job. I had dropped off my resume with the Monte Carlo Brewery Casino in Las Vegas. Little did I know that they would end up winning a gold medal.
Really?
For that beer at the time that I had helped brew. In fact, they went back and checked the guile numbers, and I had mashed in that brew.
Wow. That's rad.
And that was really exhilarating. I was like, okay, there's a hat trick. Now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
At any rate, we everybody was exhilarated because I don't think they had won a medal since before the previous owner. It was great. It was a good start. Vegas beers don't differ a lot from San Diego beers, although I think they do have one brewer, Tim at Tenaya Creek in Las Vegas, who is the brewmaster there. The assistant brewmaster is Anthony Gibson, who's a great guy. He was the brewmaster I worked for at Monte Carlo. He's really specializes in the barley wines and the pilsners.
Oh, okay.
In fact, his pilsner won gold, I think, a couple of times. I may be wrong. Probably have to check the records on that one. But
We're going to be fact checking for sure.
I'm checking everything.
Amazing. Fact checking right now on our phones.
We've got our guys in the back checking it out.
Two great brewers. I can't say enough good things about Las Vegas, as well as Dave Otto at Big Dogs out there. It's a great brewer.
Did you live out there in Vegas while you were working there?
Yeah. Yes, I lived out there for 3 years.
Yeah, that's got to be brutal.
There was the day that
it's hotter than right now, which is like unbelievable.
Yeah. It's nothing. Right. Here, compared to there at this time
this
of the month.
This is winter for Las Vegas.
At this time of the...
It's like 100 degrees out right now, and that's a good day in Vegas, basically.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah, that's what that is true. Yeah. I remember there was a comedian one time, it was like, everyone's always saying it's a dry heat. It's still heat. It's like 120 degrees outside.
But you got to factor in the humidity.
Right, right.
We are today, and quite frankly, it might be 115 outside.
It's brutal out. This is supposed to be the hottest weekend of the year when we're recording this. Luckily, we're inside, a little AC, a little beer, a little comfort.
It's a little, I mean, I heard it's supposed to peak today.
Yeah, I think this is supposed to
go downhill after this. It's so stupid that we're in San Diego and we're like, oh my God, it's so hot. Oh, and everyone else anywhere else on the planet is like, you don't even know, dude. Like, that's nothing.
This is the most like moderate you're gonna get.
Yeah, like
it's virtually like perfect out right, all the time here. But I'm gonna complain anyway. I don't care.
I asked someone. I think it might have been Adam or Megan from Boy King, and I was like, I just want to, you know, where can I go where it's like 65 every day. Like, I just want to move. I just want to live there.
Yeah.
And they were like, you already fucking live there, you idiot.
Yeah.
It's San Diego, man.
Yeah, it's like 3 weeks out of the year.
You have
it's
a
bad.
Month of hot weather, and then it's like perfect year round after that.
Right. You know?
So, I mean, it's kind of dumb to complain about it, but, and I always think it's ridiculous whenever I see people on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, like, oh my God, it's so hot. You know, and I'm just like, whatever, man. Deal with it. You know, like,
there's nothing more. Guilty. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say I'm guilty. My last status update, I think, was it's so humid outside. I had to take 3 showers today just to dry.
Just to dry off. Yeah, I was cracking up.
I could totally relate. I could relate so much more
than
I want to relate.
I've taken more showers in the last couple of weeks than ever before in my life.
I feel like when I get out of the shower, it's like I'm more wet outside
of
it than when I'm in it.
Yeah,
that's not normal for any lifestyle.
It's bizarre, but I have a lot of friends that complain about right before summer hits. People are like, "Oh my God, it's so cold out! I want it to be summer so badly so I can go to the beach." It's like, shut up, dude! Like, what are you complaining about? It's perfect. And then summer hits, and it gets like 90 degrees out for 3 weeks. They're like, oh my God, it's so hot! I'm sweating. I don't want to do anything. It's like, oh my God, you're the worst.
So, are you familiar in Las Vegas with Sin City Brewing Company?
Yes.
I remember going to Vegas. I still have a T-shirt. I was like, I was young. I don't remember exactly what age it was. It had to have been like 23, 24. And I'm now 30, so it was a while ago. I remember they had a little beer like area set up in where the Aladdin has that like huge mall.
Correct. Yeah, where and Planet Hollywood is.
Yeah. It was back when the Aladdin had the mall. And I was I'm just curious, like, how familiar you are with them.
They started as a contract brewer.
Okay.
and we sourced their yeast for them from Monte Carlo, which
I
don't think is common knowledge, but I don't think anybody cares or matters or
I feel like that's more of a common thing.
It's just
your
secret. He just let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, but it's like more, that's more. But anyway, so back to what you were saying with the yeast and the Sin City or whatever. It was just the only one that I noticed around that time. So I wasn't sure if like they were one of the pioneers in Las Vegas or I don't know. I don't know much about it.
So yeah, I'd say Big Dog was probably the pioneer most of everything from my limited knowledge of Vegas brewing.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm sure there were homebrew clubs and other progenitors of styles and great beers and small starts, but it was before my time there. But I enjoyed my time at Monte Carlo and worked for a very knowledgeable brewmaster, Anthony Gibson, who's now the brewmaster at Tenaya Creek in North Vegas.
Okay.
And great guy. Taught me a lot.
So how long did you work there before you came back?
I was there 3 years, and then Aria built the tram station right over the actual working brewery.
All
that equipment's gone to Hangar up in Redlands.
That's right. I remember when they were building Aria and that whole, and there's another one right next to it now, right? That I haven't been to Vegas in a long time.
City Center.
It's like its own city within the city, basically.
It's crazy,
with those cross buildings. That's weird stuff,
right,
man.
Right.
It's incredible. It's like a little metropolis there, you know.
Yeah, it's, really, it's like a city within a city. It's like a small one within.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So where the beer that was brewed in Monte Carlo, where was that sold? Where was it just sold within Monte Carlo? Or
that was sold just at Monte Carlo.
Was it at like that pub restaurant?
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah.
got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And not nearly as many taps as they have there now, which is an incredible number, something on the number of the taps they have at Yard House or somewhere like that.
Oh, right.
Just great place to have a beer.
What would you say is, you know, out of the beers that you've brewed or that you've helped brew, what would you say is like your favorite, like your top beer that you really enjoyed either working on or that just came out just perfectly, you know?
I would say probably an IPA we brewed about 2004 at Monte Carlo. It was, you know, the flagship beer for the most part for the brewery. And everybody that came by and tasted this particular batch that I had invited over just from the fermenter, it wasn't a finished beer yet, just had raves about it, and that was probably my favorite one.
Nice.
We just upped the alcohol in it a little bit from what it was. I think it was probably 6.5 to 7.5, something like that.
So is that their IPAs generally what you kind of gravitate towards when you're drinking?
And hops.
So you're a hop fan though.
Anything hoppy.
Okay, so what are some of your favorite hoppy beers you've ever had then?
Probably most recently, the Gata Damerung from...
We did that on episode five.
And Dustin was a big fan of that.
I got a bottle of that on my own, which I don't normally drink beer at my house normally. Just, you know, chilling out or whatever. But I did buy a bottle of that just to have at home with Elena. And it's great. It's a great beer.
Yeah, I've gone through several bottles of that. It's just awesome. I'll go outside and pick a couple hops and drop it on top, and it's all noble hops in that beer for the most part, and it just complements it really nicely.
Nice.
So did you want to get back into some of the music talk?
We've been
talking beer a lot. So I mean, you had some music questions, and
that's good.
I'm curious about this music placement and how you get it done, and you know the whole thought process that goes into placing music to an already written story. It's fascinating to me. So did you have any questions?
I guess you know, along those lines, when you present music to the music supervisor for Orange is the New Black, what's their name? I'm sure they got a name.
Oh,
no, the nameless
actually,
face.
Actually,
it's the one guy.
It rarely gets, well, it never gets presented directly to the music supervisor in person. I've always had a consultant relationship with the executive producers.
Oh, okay.
Where
right.
I present music, and then they can pass it on, make recommendations, thumbs up, thumbs down, and that's how it's worked from the beginning. I think it's the way it is because that's how it started.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, do a lot of shows work like that where people kind of pitch shows to the actual music supervisor? I mean, songs, I should say, to the music supervisor? Or is it like, does the music supervisor generally find the songs themselves?
No, this is more of a privilege because these are people that I've worked with for years.
Actually.
Since 2006 for Weeds.
Wow.
And I've known one of the executive producers for, well, beginning with Simon & Simon, which was a San Diego-based private investigator series, which went for many years. I was also a location manager for Stu Siegel Productions.
Oh, wow.
I think the two most rewarding aspects of the job or that you can call the artist and tell them that their song's
their
been
song
placed
picked
and
up,
also
yeah.
Just being able to visualize and hear music that might be appropriate and then see it actually come to fruition, that's an amazing feeling. That's goosebumps.
Well, what Cody was saying is like, how do you, when you hear a band or a song or something like that, like what is it that strikes you about that song or that band that would inspire you to actually go, okay, this has a shot at being on this show or something? Is there anything that kind of draws you to it?
Well, because I realize it's whatever works in the end, I don't really fall in love with anything.
Because it may not be picked up at
right,
all. Yeah.
Right, from the get-go.
It's not really about what you even like. It's more about, you know, just presenting kind of a plethora of different kind of sounds.
If it was my choice, they'd have Steve Vai, Jimi Hendrix, and Joe Satriani in there 100% of the time. Yeah.
They can't argue with that. Yeah.
But that doesn't work for a love scene. So
right. Well, there are.
So when you throw a song out into the hat and it's to be picked, do you kind of have an idea, like say this song? Do you tell them, like, this song would be really good for, like, a love scene, or this song would be really good for this sort of thing?
Yeah, do you make any kind of recommendations?
Like, my wife and I we've crushed Breaking Bad in, like, 2.5 weeks. We've done the entire series. We caught up in that quick. And it was sticking in my head more often than it normally would, I think, leading up to being able to sit and speak with you on this podcast. When we were noticing a lot, like, there's a scene where... spoiler alert, there's a scene where
people
are being
killed
or whatever, and it's like this beautiful, like, nice song that normally you wouldn't think for something for such a serious scene.
Right, right.
So are you able to go in and say this song would be good for this specific scene, or does it not really work that way because you have shows like Breaking Bad where like a certain kind of very, like, a lovey type song could be used for something so serious.
Yeah, they can kind of use things that maybe you wouldn't think of. Yeah,
it's a very different vibe, I feel like, these days with music and shows and movies where you can actually take something that's not so typical, but it works.
They're very unpredictable, like these shows, like what they play over certain scenes, for sure.
I became acquainted with Russ Pollard of Everest.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a song called Unfortunate Sea, and I said, I see this playing under a lot of different scenes. This could work. They gave me their CD. They probably didn't think anything was going to happen. I didn't I never get my hopes up for any one song or group of songs or band.
Yeah.
Because it's what comes back.
It's not
again,
really up.
Whatever
it's not
works,
in your hands.
Whatever
yeah.
sticks.
Yeah.
And a scene came up and it was perfect for Weeds.
Really?
And we just had a beer the other night and he was at the Casbah and we kind of just...
Well, they were playing with,
it was nice. Yeah.
They were playing with Heavy Guilt and Flags and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good show.
Yeah, so I mean it's kind of like you said, it's not in your hands at all, like what they choose to use. I mean, it's basically so you basically like you hear music and you're like, "Okay, you know, this is good stuff. I know it's good." I'm going to present it to these, or I'm going to, you know, send it to these guys and see maybe they can use it in something.
Right.
It's generally how it works.
Well, I got a good example is I got the pilot script for Orange is the New Black. And just reading it, I knew it was dialogue heavy and it was going to be a tough show to make any suggestion. And it's not in my hands. By any means. I mean, right. They have to it has to make sense and
It seems like even it's all like in their heads in like a perfect way because I wouldn't ever think that some of these songs that are chosen for certain shows would ever work for the scene that they're put to but then once it's there and presented to us as the audience it works perfectly it's crazy that you guys are able to see what would make sense before any of us. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a song, for instance, singer-songwriter Regina Spektor,
she does a title.
She has the title song.
Yeah. Song. Yeah.
And Genji's a huge fan. Genji Kohan, huge fan. And my recollection was reading that she had been listening to a lot of Regina Spektor when she was writing the script, writing the pilot, and probably writing the first episode inside the pilot.
Hmm.
But we're talking about a show that was renewed for a second season before it was even aired on Netflix for a first season.
Wow, well, it absolutely blew up over the last couple months.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I had heard about it from you right when Weeds ended or was about to be ending. And you had said, you know, I'm working on putting some music together for this new show called Orange is the New Black. I'm not sure who's picking this up or if it's even going to be made or anything. At that point, you were kind of in the dark. All you knew is that she was working on this show or she had these, she was working on scripts for these shows and I was when you told me about that, I was like, well, there's so many shows that, you know, never get made.
Right.
Maybe only make a pilot. You know, don't make it past the first season. Maybe don't even get a season. You know, like, there's so many shows that you don't, I mean, that never see the light of day that, or that don't last. And I had no clue what the show was about when you mentioned it.
I think it was quoting Kevin Spacey at a recent convention, 300 million. To 400 million was spent on pilots alone.
Wow.
That's insane. And out of those, maybe only a third make it to the screen. So you want to get all of that money on the screen, which I see them doing. I know they don't have time to be wasted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I think, you know, the show itself, when it came out, that was one, since it's on Netflix, it comes out like all 13 episodes or 12 or 13 episodes. They came out at one time. Like just, they released all of them, right?
The binge.
Yeah. Like you could actually like pull up Orange is the New Black and just watch all of the episodes in the season.
It's crazy when that happens though, because it literally does come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
There's I don't know what kind of pilots were shown on the internet or whatever before, any sort of trailers or whatever, because I'm not as versed in Orange is the New Black as he is. I'm sort of a newcomer to it. But when you drop the entire season one in one day, mm-hmm. it's just like, bam, where it, yeah. what is this? What happened? I don't know what
yeah.
this is.
Yeah.
And then personally, I feel like Netflix kind of needed to up the game a little bit from that Arrested Development drop they did, because I made it through five episodes and I haven't touched it again.
Oh, yeah. That
I feel like that was a
I couldn't
dump
make it. I couldn't even make it through the new Arrested Development. Like,
but Netflix has redeemed themselves with this show.
Absolutely. Like House of Cards and and Orange is the New Black, fantastic shows. And
Netflix is going to become that force to be reckoned with like HBO and Showtime original programming and even AMC.
AMC, yeah. I think it's like, yeah. And I think FX has some good shows coming up too. Mm-hmm. But
Sons of Anarchy, baby. Yeah. I can't wait.
I'm a big fan of The League myself. Yeah, that's a great show. And The Killing, I think, is on FX as well, but I'm not exactly sure about that. I'm
cutting that out.
Delete. Just fact checked. Yeah. Wrong. No, I think, you know, you got HBO, Showtime, AMC, and I think now you've got Netflix because they've established themselves as like a firm player and like, you know, programming.
It's the future.
Yeah,
it really is. My wife was saying today, she's like, if there's anything, I don't think there's anything that can't be done on HBO and Showtime, but you have like AMC where they have to bleep some things. You can't do whatever you want. FX, you can't
not
do whatever you want.
Not a ton of nudity. I mean, there's not really any.
But Netflix, you can do anything you want. Yeah, it's a completely independent market, at least from what I'm aware of. I was blown away that within the first 10 seconds, I was seeing naked breasts in Orange is the New Black. I was like, what
was
just
like,
happened
Oh, I'm
here?
Way into the show right now.
No,
this
that wasn't
awesome.
It. I was just like, how is that so fast? I was like, whoa, that's crazy. I was a little shocked by it, but it's also, it's a well-written show. It's very
just to interject, you know, and we missed all that during that 70s show.
Yeah, sure, we did. we missed a lot of things with that 70s show. Yeah. I think
what you missed for however long that series lasted, you got within the first 10 seconds of Orange is the New Black. So Netflix really.
Cheers.
I don't recall a scene like that in Atlas Shrugged, which was like one of Taylor Schilling's films she'd made.
I didn't see that.
Laura Prepon. She's great.
She's a talent.
Sticks around.
I've heard that she might not be sticking around.
Yeah, I heard that too. I heard that she may not be making it back for the second season.
Leave that to the National Enquirer.
Yeah, I mean, we're hoping that's wrong because she's obviously fantastic in that role that she is. That she
and
plays,
I know she listens to this podcast, so
yeah, she's going to take our suggestions to heart.
Yeah,
stick with it, Laura. Stick with it. You're good, man.
She's
good.
Having an orange wit right now.
Yeah, I bet she is. I bet you she is.
Thanks for listening, Laura. No, I think with the nudity aspect of the show. It kind of reminded me of, you know, Game of Thrones from HBO. Like, they'll bust into a show, first minute of it is just two people going at it. And you're like, what? Why? What does this matter? Like, why is this even necessary? I've had people complain about it before.
Well, I always thought that True Blood unnecessary stuff like that. Yeah. It's just like, it doesn't need to go
out
so far. Yeah. Just, like, tell the story and it doesn't need to be so, like, in your face. Yeah. I don't think it necessarily does, but, you know, who am I?
I think, there's some, there's definitely some, like, justification for, like, some of it, I think.
Right.
But I think a lot of the scenes in True Blood, I think, personally, are just kind of, it doesn't add anything.
Right.
You know, it's just there.
It's a show about vampires.
You gotta have sex, dude.
I don't know, dude.
Everybody knows vampires just be getting down.
I don't know.
All
this
the
is
time.
The first like vampire thing that I ever really noticed. I guess maybe not. I don't know.
The ladies love that opening theme by Jay Severett.
Oh, yeah. I know Rosie.
He's a great guy.
SD dialed in. I know that she's a big fan. Yeah. I remember when he came through, played Casbah. Maybe it was the first time he came through. I don't know if he's been through recently, but first time he came through, I know that she was just stoked. Like, she was like, oh my God, I can't wait to, like, I remember, like, taking pictures of him after the show and giving him a little kiss, you know? Like, she was all into him, you know? So,
Rosie's great.
Yeah, Rosie is fantastic. She's the best.
So, is there any local artists that you haven't worked with yet that you're hoping to get placed? I mean, I'm sure you'd like to place every local artist that you're a fan of, but is there anyone specific that you in the coming future you would really like to see them get placed and have something, you know, come out of them?
I think
their
that
music?
Anything that comes from the mind of Al Howard, I would have to say that would be a great direction, mm-hmm. because I think his songs and the bands that he puts together.
Yeah. He's got like, what, 15 bands
yeah,
now?
Yeah,
pick
yeah.
a litter. Yeah. And choose
in fact, the last email I think I got from him was that, you know, pick and choose.
Yeah, yeah, whatever you want to do, right?
So have they been placed in anything before?
No, and okay. I've been not depressed about it, but, you know,
hopeful.
Just hopeful. And, you know, you hope the best for certain bands. And
do you get a little disappointed if you've really got a strong feeling about a band?
I
and
do,
doesn't get picked up?
But it's offset by all those times where I can call somebody and say, you made it into Weeds,
right,
or
right.
Orange is the New Black. That's the best part of the job.
What a briefly, like off the top of your head, like what are some I know some of the bands, but what are some bands that have made it onto these shows that you've been able to place so far?
Most successful, the Nervous Records.
Right, right.
They had a song in I think it was episode 7 of the final season. It was called Freeze Unfreeze is the episode name. And okay. they basically played over the last scene and the credits, which was huge.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And it was almost as if the song dictated the scene and vice versa because of where they cut.
Nice.
And how the song played.
Yeah. So it really fit. Like
it did
perfectly. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been a friend of Brian's since Convoy.
Back in the day. Yeah, those are Louis the 14th guys, right?
And was just amazed at what they were able to do with their meager means back in the early days.
What are some of the other bands you've worked with from that have made it in then?
Low Volts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The others, well, a certain percentage come from L.A., but the final season of Weeds was a good year for San Diego. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So talking about, mentioning Brian in particular, he produced the new Flags record that... this new band that popped up with Lindsay from Nervous Records and Leslie from the New Kinetics. And I think their drummer's name is Anthony. I'm not exactly sure. I'm real bad with drummers. I don't know. anyway.
You're talking to me?
I don't know. I really I can't. I'm reaching here. I don't know. I'm trying to remember the drummer's name from Flags, and I really can't remember what it is. No, but yeah, Lindsay and Leslie and their drummer, they put out their EP recently, and mm-hmm. and they've been getting a lot of buzz because they're a fantastic band, and they did play that Everest Heavy Guilt show just a few days ago, and they'll be playing they're up for Best New Artists at the San Diego Music Awards, which is rad. Yeah, like they, couldn't be more happy for them. So, and Brian Karsig from Nervous Records and Louis the 14th produced their record, and it's fantastic. Sounds great. I know that you're particularly stoked on one song.
Yeah, that's the song that it actually... 15 minutes before I got here, I was given the master, which is a song called Take a Ride.
Did they give you this for the show?
For the show.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lindsay Dropboxed that just before I got here, and Brian approved it.
Nice, nice. So that song is called, is it Take a Ride? Is that
take
what
a
it's
ride.
Called? Take a Ride. And that's off their new EP, is that right?
That's correct.
Rad. So we're going to play that right now so you all can hear what Flags is all about. And hopefully you'll be hearing them in Orange is the New Black maybe next season something if we're lucky. So, yeah, here we go.
Amen.
So that was Take a Ride from Flags. Just Dropbox to Chris today.
Today.
Right.
Yes.
Fresh tracks.
Yeah, just fresh. So yeah. Fresh and so clean. That's a great... They've got a great sound. They've got a great kind of 60s garage rock, almost a mod kind of sound as well, kind of thrown in there for good measure. Lindsay's voice is fantastic. Yeah, we're stoked on that band. We're happy to be able to play it on the podcast and yeah. Or, so I think another group. What's that?
Playing another one?
Yeah, let's play another one.
What's your what do you want to play next? Yeah. This is some songs actually, that Chris brought with him that we want to share for you guys today, some stuff that he loves and some good
Chris
good
has got his
music.
Ear to the grindstone about
he understands
about most of the bands in San Diego or a lot of the good ones and
right
and you know he's always kind of on the up and up with who's playing where and the new records that are coming out.
Siri
wants to be a guest on podcast.
So what's the next song that you'd like to share with everyone out there in Podland?
This is a song by Michael Tiernan, who just did a benefit last night for stupidcancer.org.
Stupidcancer.org.
Jitters in Oceanside. And the song is called Run.
Okay.
It's produced by Andre De Santana. He's got some association playing bass with Jason Mraz, Bushwalla, et cetera.
Perfect.
And he produced this song, and it's a lot of fun. It's very Marley-esque.
Okay. Rad.
Cool. So this is Run by Michael Tiernan.
all I do, it's all I do. I run, and I know you're running too. I just do run, it's all I ever do. I run, and I wanna slow down. It ain't gonna happen anytime I can see, cause the future's pressing down on me. I got a thousand places that I need to be, a thousand things to do, but only one me. I just run, it's all I do, it's all I do. I run, and I know you're running too. I just run, it's all I ever do. Oh, I run, and I wanna slow down. Run, run around like it's all on you. Feel the fire burning if you step in my shoes. But the world still spins despite this craziness. One day, promises, promises. I run, it's all I do, it's all I do. I run, and I know you're running too. I just run, it's all I ever do. I run, and I wanna slow down. Like a big bomb blast, get your shit done, learn to multitask. And just run, it's all I do, it's all I do. I run, and I know you're running too. I just run, it's all I ever do. I run, and I wanna slow down. Down where the market is stopped, honey, give me one of them pops. Down where I can disappear, where the blind see and the deaf hear. I just run.
Okay, so that was Run by Michael Tiernan. What else you got for us today? You guys want to talk about this one a little bit more? Or?
Well, it's got a good kind of jammy vibe to it, you know, like a...
It's a great jam.
Good summer tune, you know, just kind of hanging out on
that
the beach. And
bass line, it's got... It's perfect end of summer song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's hope that the end of summer is coming up here quick.
I know, right?
We can get a good use of that song and get a good use of
it. As we all wither away.
Exactly.
So you brought and what? Yeah, what else? You what got else one got? More for us?
Let's see. I do.
I think you mentioned something about...
I've got probably a nice one to... to finish up with here is Into the Ground by Little Dove.
Into the Ground by Little Dove. That's Vanya James.
Vanya James, yeah.
And
her drummer, and Dylan.
Her drummer. And they've got a really cool sound. It's just the two of them, and it's a really kind of guitar-driven kind of a...
It is.
Really, it's not blues, but it's kind of like, it's got like a blues rock kind of feel to it, I think, a little
and
bit.
And it requires looking at the YouTube video because it's very original and a lot of fun.
Nice.
Well, I'll definitely put a link up for the YouTube video when we post this podcast. Definitely. Just get that shared with everybody.
And I think they're playing the San Diego Music thing.
Yes. Yes.
That'll be coming up this Friday and Saturday. Pretty much every music venue in San Diego.
Right.
Do you know where they're playing by any chance?
Because
I can't recall.
Happen to know. I'd have to consult the Madrid.
Yeah.
Check out San Diego
schedule.
Music thing.
Yeah, just check out SanDiegoMusicThing.com, and they've got the whole lineup and everything. If you don't got tickets to that, you definitely got to get on it because, I mean, there's 150 bands playing on, like, 13 venues or something, and tickets are dirt cheap, and it's, I mean, it's a fantastic time all around.
Right. There's too much good stuff going on.
There's way too much stuff going on. I mean,
that's where I'm
going to
be,
yeah,
mining for some gold.
I mean, literally, you can't go to a venue for one of these shows without seeing some fantastic bands, really.
Yeah.
And
there's going to be tons of good stuff going on the entire weekend. It's if you can't get something good for your ears and your eyes, then something's going on.
Yeah, you're doing something wrong.
You need to check yourself
before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, you've already wrecked yourself.
I do know a favorite band will be playing at the Griffin, which is Tommy and the High Pilots.
Tommy and the High Pilots.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in that whole master schedule, so check them out.
And I know the Heavy Guilt is playing Griffin as well with the
I think
features,
they're on the same.
I think
they're on the same bill. I think
they're right. Okay, Heavy Guilt is playing the Griffin, and if I may say so, Boy King is playing Whistle Stop on the Friday night, so that's gonna be rad. We're playing with Manu OK, which is one of Cody's buds' bands.
Yeah, my buddy Eric plays bass in that, and my buddy Eric and his wife Sherry actually just had their baby.
Well, congratulations!
Yeah, so congratulations, awesome. Eric and Sherry. We
love
you guys so much, and it's so stoked for you guys. And it's gonna be a great show. Manu OK,
Ed Ghost Tucker is on it.
Yeah,
I think they're opening up the show. So. I mean, if everybody isn't already busy going to some of these other great shows around town,
this is the one to be at on Friday.
On Friday night, just go to the Whistle Stop. Whistle Stop with it.
Yes. So you say you'll be there, Chris?
I'll be there.
That's going to be a great
Chris show. Is actually wearing a Boy King shirt right now.
He is wearing a
Boy King
shirt.
I wanted to mention that because it's a fantastic looking shirt, if
it
I do say so myself.
It looks fantastic on him.
Yeah, Chris is rocking it well.
I like the way it looks. I like the whole vibe.
Yeah, it's definitely a good look on Chris.
Skull
for
is
sure.
The new black.
Skull is the new black.
Yeah,
bang.
Right. Like, so okay, so we got a song. We started to drift here.
And what's it called again?
Into the Ground.
Into the
Into
Ground.
Into the Ground by Little Dove.
Here it
headed
is.
By Vanya James
and Dylan.
Drummer Dylan.
Okay.
All right, here it is.
Yeah, they
So that was Into the Ground by Little Dove.
That was a great song.
Yeah. Energetic.
Very good stuff.
Just a good vibe to it, for sure.
Real good. Real good. So thanks for providing those songs for us. It's awesome. Oh, sorry.
Thank you for the beer and the company. And,
man. I'm happy.
A place to chill with this heat outside.
Right.
Well, we had a good time talking to you.
Thank you.
You know, like, it kind of provides me and hopefully with some of our listeners with kind of what goes on behind the scenes with getting music onto shows. It's not just like some guy on his laptop going like, I like this. This is going in the scene. There's a lot of work that goes into it and a lot of thought. You know, it's not just kind of a thrown together kind of thing.
It's also I'm happy to let people in San Diego know that there's someone in your community, in your city, that cares about local music and is fighting for you to get well known on a much broader scale.
Yeah.
So someone is actually out there fighting for you and pushing for you guys and for your music and for the music that is, you're not in a band, but the local music you love. Someone's fighting for that, and that's Chris.
I would go so far as like, if you're in a band in San Diego and you're playing shows and you're taking it seriously and you've got a record or some songs you recorded or whatever, get a hold of Chris and let him know, hey, we're doing some good stuff and we're getting some positive feedback, and you know, we'd love for you to check it out if you get a chance, and I'm sure you wouldn't be
you'd love to hear new local music.
Absolutely.
Yeah, always be introduced to something new. Yeah. It's always a good thing.
And he's always at shows. If you ever see him at a show, go up and shake his hand and say, hey, thanks for helping everybody out.
Absolutely. I may buy you a beer.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, that's all the more reason to talk to him at shows.
Trade demos for beer.
There you go. That's a good deal if you ask me.
We got to get that t-shirt. I trade demos for beer.
There you go.
All right, man.
Okay,
well, Chris, Chris, thanks so much for being here. This has been a really good time. And how can people reach you? Twitter? What are you willing to give out?
Twitter at Chris Six Palms, just as it sounds.
Okay.
And Facebook, Six Palms Entertainment Music Placement Services.
Yes.
All right, check it out. Especially like Dustin said, if you're in a local band and you want to get your music shared to someone who really does legitimately
actually
care.
Actually does something. Yeah. Like worthwhile.
Unlike us.
Unlike everybody else.
Someone who really does care and fight for you, contact Chris and you know, let's get San Diego even broader on the map musically.
Yeah.
Hey,
can never get bigger than you can ever get too big for some of the great music and some of the great artists in this city.
Yeah.
And much appreciation for everything you do here.
Oh yeah. Well, thank you very
much.
Appreciate
it. Yeah, we appreciate it.
So is there anything you want to bring up before we call it quits here that you want to talk about? I know you mentioned your show already. Is there any other things you want to promote or let people know is happening? Any events?
Well, you got the San Diego Music Awards coming up in October 9th.
Yes.
A lot of my buds and a lot of bands that we're familiar with are up for awards and stuff, and that's happening at Humphreys by the Bay. And you can get tickets to that. There's going to be some, you know, great performances by a bunch of bands. And everybody I know in the music scene seems to be up for something this year, which is fantastic, and I couldn't be more stoked for everybody. And so that's going to be a good time. Hopefully, you know, people can come out for that, and hopefully people come out for the San Diego music thing. I think that's going to be a huge deal this year, and like it was last year and the year before. And you know, that's the goal, is to get people out to support, you know, all the great music in San Diego. And Chris does his part with that, and we do our part with that, and we try to keep up in the ante every time we do something, you know?
Hell yeah. Love it.
Right on.
It's been fun. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thanks again for coming on, Chris.
Keep an eye out for next week. We're going to be doing episode 8, and we have the people who put on Tour de Fat, San Diego Mountain Biking Association, and Bike Skills sitting in with us. We're doing an all-bike episode. Haven't done one yet.
Yeah,
we're going to do all bikes. I've been getting a lot of comments about no bike episode through seven.
Right.
So we're doing one. We got it scheduled. So keep an eye out. So again, Chris, thank you so much for being here. It's been great. Contact him. get him your music. Just do it.
Get him your music, damn it.
Just get the music to the guy. He loves it. He'll fight for you. Someone is actually here fighting for you. So, again, for 3bzine.com and 3bzine podcast, my name is Cody.
I'm Dustin. What up?
And again, thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
We will see you next time.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to 3B Zine official podcast. Make sure to check out 3bzine.com and follow us on Twitter at 3bzine.